Sometimes people say to me, I really appreciate your homilies, but I feel badly because I forget them by about midweek. And I say, that's okay, because that's not what this is about or how it works. This is a seed being planted, and the point is that it permeates us. And it dissolves inside of our innermost being. And there the word rests. And in time it activates or energizes new connections or understandings. It makes a difference in how we live or how we relate to others. It's very hidden within. The whole cosmos is a seed. Waiting, impregnated by the Word, waiting to be fulfilled through us. The reign of God emerges slowly, like evolution. Tortoise and hare, huh? It emerges as slowly as the birthing of new stars. So what did Jesus preach? Well, there's this magnificent summary in the very first verse of the Romans text for today, which says, now there is no condemnation for anyone who is in Christ and who is not in Christ. Wasn't that the point of the crucifixion? That God has removed all barriers from all of humanity in order to enter in with us to make life new. And that's why Paul is so charged to say, friends, we are now living by the Spirit. The Spirit of peace, the Spirit of hope, the Spirit of freedom. The law can't deliver us. The law just chastises. We want it to curb people. It doesn't work. And certainly, laws don't bring us to joy in living. They don't liberate people. The laws don't save us. Only love can do this. And so whenever laws inhibited people, hindered, prevented them from coming to life, Jesus ignored them. Kind of got him in trouble, in case you haven't read that part of the Bible yet. He'd walk through it. He would violate them. Because human beings' lives are at stake. And you don't play games with people's lives. Wherever power prevails, it shuts down love, understanding, community, communication, and mercy. Because power doesn't need them. It's just about winning and getting its way, right? A friend from L.A. emailed me this week. He said, I wonder how many of those people who were screaming and pounding on those buses with immigrant children inside, I wonder how many of those people will be in church on Sunday. And you can't even see the lives of children? The disciples of Jesus were discouraged. They were deeply troubled and disturbed because he'd been teaching for some time now. And now some of these folks began to leave him. They were walking away. They were disappointed. They were offended by what he was teaching. They wanted nothing more to do with it. And the rejections of Jesus began. And the disciples didn't know what to do with it. What's happening? It's rather fascinating that this is a pivot point in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. It's then when the rejections began that Jesus began to teach in parables. Take note, huh? So the sower goes out to sow the seed. And this guy sowed seeds everywhere. I mean, he just scattered the seed everywhere. Woohoo! What? Now some fell on the pathway, it got trampled. Some fell in stones, having no roots, it got stressed out. Some fell in the weeds and thorns, it got choked by the cares and concerns of the world. And all of these were a total failure. The sower failed. And some seeds fell on good soil. And it multiplied. 30, 60, 100-fold. It was an astonishing success. And notice that the sower just goes on sowing no matter what. With a spirit of abandon, with a spirit of confidence, like a deranged farmer. He just goes on sowing and sowing and sowing. Not about to be stopped. Parable is a word of encouragement and exhortation to us disciples today. The parable is telling us, keep going, keep growing, don't stop. But in order to do that, we need three things. One is to keep our focus on God relentlessly. Yes, be aware of all the things going on around us, but we've got to keep the focus on God. And in all of the spiritual traditions, the way that happens is through listening. Listening. Again and again and again and again. Keep listening for the word. Listen for the wisdom. Listen for the grace. Listen. It won't happen without it. There's a great symphony conductor, I'm not sure who actually, Tuscanini or somebody, who enjoyed the works of a particular symphony of Tchaikovsky. And this guy had worked with it and performed it and studied it, you know, for his entire lifetime, and he conducted it. But finally, at the age of 82, he announced publicly one day, I heard it! Now I can conduct it! At the age of 82. Finally, I know what he was trying to tell me. How much more so the Word of God? Hear it. Hear. Second thing we need is the beginner's mind. This is a great gift from the Zen community. The problem with experts is the field gets narrowed, huh? To the realm of expertise. And we only have a couple of these options working in here. Whereas in the spiritual life, we need everything available to us. We need an open canvas. We need a wide open sense of possibility. We need the capacity to be surprised. Which adults just hate, don't we? Don't surprise me. Gandhi said after the bombing of Hiroshima, "We are constantly amazed by the astonishing discovery in the field of iron." But I maintain that far more undreamt of and seemingly impossible discoveries are yet to be made in the field of nonviolence. Do you think Jesus might concur with him? Or is pack and carry our only pathway to the future? I got to be able to tote my gun in Target and Safeway. And church. In Georgia, you can wear your gun to church. What? I'm not opposed to hunting. Not what we're talking about, is it? What's happening to us? The third thing we need is to keep on bearing fruit right where we are with the gifts and skills, callings and talents that we've been given. Keep bearing fruit. And one of the things I delight most about in the church is we have so many ways to express this. There's the contemplative path for people called to prayer and meditation. There's the intellectual path. Huh? The church has excelled in this over the centuries. You know that the whole field of science was birthed because of the Christian church? I'll speak about that with you on another occasion. All 10 Ivy League schools come from Christian denominations. That's our tradition. That's our heritage. Clarity of thought. If that's yours, practice it. There's congregational life, the ferment, yes, of everyone manifesting our own highest aspiration in the beauty of community and its craziness and love and wildness for the good of the whole. Some people are called to work with the sick, the dying, the ill. Why would we waste time on that? Huh? You know that hospitals came out of the medieval world because of the Christian church? To recognize that ill people still have value. And that's what we need to replace in our society, right? The church used to excel at building institutions for the mentally retarded, developmentally disabled. It used to be a source of pride around the country. We're building homes for the developmentally disabled. We've stopped that. Remind me, between a CEO and a scholar and a retarded person, which one matters most to God? There's the work of justice, confronting power which tramples people. And there's the work with the vulnerable, wherever they find themselves, huh? Well, that's why we were out in the streets of the Tenderloin the other night with the night minister. And I'm inviting Jordan and Ken to share a word with us. Just about a couple highlights that they experienced the other night, all right? Anything that impressed? So Jordan and Ken, join me. I'll have you use the mic. You want to go first? You got to be closer to the mic. Even closer. There you go. Thank you.
I'm Jordan. So, I thought the night ministry was a really good experience, and I feel like a lot more people should experience it because I'm 17 and I go to San Francisco all the time, and I've never been on the Tenderloin and seen that kind of way of life. And it was really eye-opening for me because, like, we're blessed with so much to have out here, and some people don't even have, like, anywhere to sleep. Like, I saw a couple people sleeping on the street with no blankets, no pillows, no anything. And it's just, it's really sad that, like, some people have to live that way all the time. And I was like, we walked around for about, like, three or four hours, and it was really cold, and I was like, I just want to go home to my bed. Like, I was freezing. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, some people, this is their home, and they don't have a bed to go to. And it was just really, like, eye-opening for me. And yeah.
Thank you.
I'm remembering all the faces, the Lutheran pastors. Their faces were so honest, and you knew they were great listeners. They had beautiful faces. And there were faces of reality on the streets. I do know the Tenderloin. My family are San Franciscans. And there were painted faces, men and women who were hiding and hurting. It's a neighborhood that's changing rapidly. And the Lutheran Church, I think since 1964, has been concerned about youth in San Francisco, in the Tenderloin. The Episcopal Church, the Catholic Church. It's wonderful to see people doing the right thing, that all these faces are just as important as any other face. And it touched me, and I felt proud. It was a good experience. Thank you.
Thank you both. One of the first encounters of that evening, three folks, a gentleman, two women, certainly in their probably 50s. And you could tell by the way they sat on the sidewalks that, you know, this was their life. And the conversation ensued, and in the course of it, found out that the guy was from Nebraska, like Lyle. Beckman, the night minister, is also from Nebraska. Really? He said, how about that? Isn't that something? Yeah, the guy said, I grew up a Lutheran. At first church in some small town, and maybe you know the pastor, and he named him and laughed. I do know him. To see ourselves. In the face of another. As the rain and the snow come down from the sky and do not return before having watered the earth, fertilizing it, germinating it, providing seed for sower and food to eat. So it is with the word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me unfulfilled. It will complete my good pleasure. It shall achieve what it was sent to do. Good friends, good soil, the seed, the word, is sown in you. You who have ears to hear. Listen. Amen. The peace which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.